The new generation is here.
Except for Kyrie Irving.
But either Luka, Edwards, Tatum, or Halliburton is going to be a champion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
First time, I think, since the 50s where there is no player left in conference finals. Nobody on any of the teams has won an MVP award.
Oh, really? Damn, I did not know that. This year should have been Luka won it, if you ask some people. If you ask other people, it should have been Shaq. Speaking of the two top MVP, number one and two vote getters, they both weren't able to get it done.
No, they could have faced each other.
Yeah, they could have faced each other. I'm so depressed about that because those are two of my favorite players in the league, and they both actually, neither of them let me down individually, but both their teams let me down. Yes. I thought both of them were fine in the series that they played. Jokic, yep, a little less so. I thought SGA did essentially all you could ask SGA him to do in that series. Yeah, it was pretty sad. You see the interview where he was talking about, like, because he got the foul at the end of the game, and he was like, that's just a dumb foul. Like, I can't be doing that. Like, that's on me.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it where the dude asks him about the series ending on the foul line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some good interviews.
They shouldn't have challenged that with the one timeout left, so they could have advanced the ball there.
It's huge.
Yeah,
you make a play.
I understand the challenge because he did get ball first, but with one timeout left, like, I feel like it's not worth it unless you have like you are 100% sure that it'll get over.
Well, not even 100, but yeah, I'd say you need to be at least pretty sure.
Yeah,
I'd go 75
because I'd say that play could go. It's like you have maybe 1/3 chance of overturning it on that. Because he does get the ball first. There's an argument to be made there. But, he touches the arm right after while the ball is still in the guy's hands. Like, it's not like he knocks it out of his hands and touches the arm.
Yeah, because then who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
A lot weird. Yeah, there's a bunch of teams that are going home sad. A lot of teams that...
Well, Oklahoma, though, man, they have the fucking best fans in the league. Their fans stayed up till 1 a.m. and all were at the airport and, like, being like, damn, good season, boys.
Mm-hmm. I'd be a good fan, too, if I had the amount of stars that the organization has had over it, especially for a small market. Like, you think about all the superstars who have played there.
Oh, yeah. But, like...
Still. Yeah, support their young team.
And, like, every single game that's at home, like, every single person is, like, dressed. Like, they obviously give out shirts because they're all, like, wearing the same thing. But, like, people will all wear them. Like, I feel like... If you do that shit in, like, Miami, like, half the people are just going to want to wear their designer clothes or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I loved when they would do, like, the whiteout games or whatever. I think they did all blue for one of them or something like that. Or
I saw one where there was, like, mostly white with, like, a blue section.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's cool.
On your seating. Yeah.
I guess we'll talk first about, we'll give eulogies first. We'll talk about the dead teams, then we can, and then we can talk about the ones that are still alive, and then we can preview matchups.
Yeah, well, you want to start?
Yeah, we'll save the juiciest for last. We'll start with the only team that I think can't really tell themselves after the series we could have had that, and that's Cleveland. I thought the other three teams all could have been like, honestly, we could have had that series. Oh, like, if a couple things go our way, I don't think Cleveland could have had that. Do you think the Donovan Mitchell era is over in Cleveland, or do you think they give him one more year and let him hit free agency?
I think he does do another. Wait, his contract's not up?
He has one more season.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Oh, wow, okay. I thought his contract was up, and so in my head, he was going to re-sign a contract, and then midway through his second year, request trade. So that's where I think he's going to go then. I mean, I think he's going to finish this year, and he's going to get a new contract, and then request trade halfway through the next year,
because
that's just the meta now. But I don't know. He seems like he wants to be, like, he did some weird, or someone was posting about that there was, like, rumors about that Donovan Mitchell was not happy with the level of maturity throughout his team, and then he, like, responded to that, like, you guys will just say anything, like, total cap.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But he also is fiending for a big market.
So, who do you think is they have to make a trade this summer? Do you think the trade's Garland, or do you think it's Allen?
I think it's Allen. I know Garland doesn't really work.
I love this take from you, because I feel opposite from you on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know Garland has never meshed with Mitchell.
And he's been bad in the playoffs. He's a playoff faller every year that they've been in the playoffs. As opposed, Allen and Mobley are both good. They just don't really make sense next to each other.
That's the thing. Like, they'll never win with them two together. Like, there's a ceiling on that team, I think. Well, I guess unless like Mobley can really get the shooting. But like the only reason Minnesota can win with these bigs is because two of their three bigs are like excellent 3-point shooters.
Yeah, I don't believe Mobley will ever be a plus 3-point shooter. I think that he'll at some point be able to get a 3-point shot going where he's not, because like even this like postseason where he was like was better than he was in the past, it still hurts his team how bad he is.
Like, you think he gets like a Siakam level?
Yeah, okay. Like current if Siakam, that can do current it. Siakam, not like championship Siakam.
Right. Yeah, who was like really nice. If he can do that, then they can work together. But he needs like some sort of jumper.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing that I would look at, and it's funny because they're the same draft class, if I'm Cleveland, is you look at Scottie Barnes, and he goes from like two seasons ago, it was like, this guy is not a jump shooter at all. And then last season, he's a real threat as a jump shooter. So there is a template out there. Like, it's not unheard of for a player to go from a non-shooter to a decent shooter in one season. And I believe it for Mobley. Like, I liked a lot of the stuff he was doing this playoffs. I thought he was probably consistently the second best player on their team, especially given the fact that Allen was hurt. And that's one of the reasons that I a bit agree with you about the Allen needing to be traded thing. I think they should trade both, ideally, Allen and Garland.
I can see that.
But like, if Mitchell wants to stay, you keep him. And trading and Mobley then is crazy.
Make Mitchell the point guard and get a defender in as a two guard.
Yeah, do something, right? You could even keep Strus and have him as your two guard and get like a defensive three. Even
okay.
I think like this off season, like a team that's loving a lot of different situations, and I'll bring up his name again later, is Portland. I think the Jeremy Grant market's going to be like fairly decent, and they could reasonably look at it and be like, we can get one first from that, which would be fantastic for that team. Off of that, because I just think there's so many teams that need wings that or forwards that can defend and shoot, right?
Yeah.
And I think that if there is like a sweepstake, that's going to work in their favor. Especially because Garland's on a max, so you're going to have to make up 30 something million, whatever you trade him for, and Allen's making 20 million. So I guess you wouldn't even be able to trade him for that.
Well, you could do Garland for Grant, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they would. Just because they have too Scoot many guards. And Brogdon. And, I mean, Anfernee. Brogdon doesn't really matter, but Scoot and Anfernee and Shaedon Sharpe, like, you already have three young guards. Like, and also, like, yeah, like, I don't see it. That's too many guards to do many bigs. They almost need more forwards. But I like Brandon Ingram. If a Brandon Ingram trade is in there for them, for, like, a Garland for Ingram, I could see both of those teams being fairly happy with that. I think New Orleans also is another team that wants to look fairly different next year, especially given the fact that they're not going to re-sign Valanciunas. So obviously they're going to want to change something up.
I mean, they need a real point guard. They should have never fucking traded Lonzo. Well, Lonzo doesn't play games anymore, but like still, like in theory, like I never understood that trade.
Yeah.
But yes, they do need a point guard. Like CJ is not a point guard.
No. And like Garland is. It would be very nice for them. And that would be probably, I would imagine that's going to be the best point guard on the market this summer. As far as free agents go, like the point guard market's a little slim, unless you really like Markelle Fultz. I could see somebody really liking Markelle Fultz, but if that's the answer on your team, then like Portland's not close enough to winning for a player like that to be like the answer, you know? Like I think they need.
Well, he's still really young though, right?
Yeah. He's fairly young. He's Tatum draft class. So Tatum is.
Right. So you'd assume this is probably 26.
Yeah.
Because I remember he's just out of that best players under 25.
Yeah, he's the old man of the best players on the team.
Oh, sure. No, finals. He's 19 though. I missed the opportunity for the meme.
But yeah, Cleveland, lots of trades happen this season. I don't really have a whole lot to say about that Cleveland-Boston series. One really fun thing was Marcus Morris popping off in the last game. I really enjoyed that. He had like 20-something points, and I was like, I thought Marcus Morris was done in the league, so like, who knows? Maybe that'll
get not going to lie. When I saw that Mitchell wasn't playing, I didn't watch.
Oh, really? I did not watch. I followed the score, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Dude, if Boston needs to just win the championship. Otherwise, like, they're fucked. Like narrative-wise. Like, they have such a free path to the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that means you need to win it, I think. Like, even if they just make the Finals and they lose to one of the West teams, It's like, well, you only got there because of how weak the East is. Like, but that would be a statement. And Porzingis will be back by the finals. He may be back next series.
Yeah, he's guaranteed missing the first two games. That was announced already. But yeah, they don't need him in that series.
I mean, we'll talk about this. You could cut another starter.
You could cut like Derek White, who's been the best player on the team all playoffs, and they'd be fine. But yeah, Cleveland, donezo. Onto the next team that's out. Who you get to pick the next one? I picked the first one.
Okay, the most sad team, like a team that like just got absolutely destroyed by injuries. Even worse than Cleveland, and Donovan Mitchell and Allen didn't play in this games in this series, certain games, which is the Knicks staying in the East. I mean, honestly, like a great story. Like I mean, they pissed me off in the first round because I wanted the Sixers to win. So I was getting very annoyed, but like I do love these Villanova boys
for sure. I hope they trade for Mikal Bridges because Bridges is apparently available, which would actually be, speaking of threes, who would fit really well in Cleveland if they're trying to trade some pieces. That would be another guy who I would really take a long hard look at if he's as available.
Fits literally on every team.
Yeah. Like unless you already have like your 2 through 4 like right. set, like he's gonna fit on your team. Yep. Like I can't even think of a team. Like Boston might not want him just because like whatever asset they would trade for him, they would probably get worse. But like that's like it. It's sad for New York, but you know what's the real ceiling on this team would have been losing to New York in the next round.
Boston.
To Boston in the next round. Losing themselves.
They did lose to New York in this round.
I think even if... Well, who knows if they're fully healthy. The big difference maker is Randall. And I have two things to say about Randall. First of all, is that New York fans can't use his name when they're talking about, oh, we're so injury-plagued, because they were like, oh, we're better without him when he first right. got hurt. And they wanted him off the team earlier this year. And so you can't be like, oh, our second star was hurt. And then your next sentence be like, we got to trade Randall this offseason. Pick a lane with it. I love Randall. I'm a Randall defender. He has the worst field goal percentage of any player in NBA history in the playoffs, so that's a little bit tough.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, I think he's 28% or something like that in his like 12 playoff games.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's
that's insane.
Yeah, he's like the biggest playoff faller in the league, and it's not even that close.
Wow. I've never heard that. That's crazy. But he was playing really good with Brunson earlier this year, when he was healthy right before the second injury, they were looking great together. Also, it's just so crazy how like narratives change, and that like when Julius Randle first came to the Knicks, he was Jalen Brunson now. Like the way that they see Jalen Brunson now. Like I was listening to a podcast I remember back then where a Knicks fan was saying that if he ran for mayor, he'd be elected. Like. And now, fans.
And now, I bet you, if you were to ask fans, be like, "Who would you rather see gone this offseason?" They would say Randall above like Hart or DiVincenzo, right. or Hardenstein, even.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing that's scary for New York this offseason is the rumor before the playoffs was $37.5 million per year for Anunoby. And I don't think he played himself lower than that through the playoffs. And I don't think the injury concerns are enough to drag him down. And I'd be a little bit worried that that's going to be a bad contract, mostly because of injury concerns. I think if he played 80 games a year and was healthy, 37.5, I wouldn't say it's a good contract, but it'd be reasonable for him. But the fact that he plays, like, if he plays 65 games for you, like, that is amazing.
If he's eligible for awards, it's amazing.
So
37 is insane.
37.5. That's what the rumors were before the playoffs. And as I said, I don't think he played himself out of it.
No, he looked great.
Yeah, he looked great when he played. And like the record when he played was great. And
It was
like not even close to his guy.
Their record is incredible when OG plays.
Yeah, 4 years, $150 million. That's what people are saying.
Damn. Yeah, that's an insane bag. Because Brunson's underpaid, though, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, real underpaid. I think he has next year. And then he has 2 more years, but I don't know what kind of options on that last year.
Probably
I would
player.
Imagine it's a player, especially because it's a descending contract, which is like the Wizards special. Because Kuzma and Abby are both on this. Bro, descending contracts always look good.
Yeah.
Because like
I know you love them.
But yeah, like especially for a team like where you don't really mind overpaying in the first year because it's not like you're a championship contender. Like if you're somewhere between like the the 8th and 30th best team in the league, like, overpaying in the first year is jokes.
Because, right.
like, it means that you're almost certainly going to be underpaying by the end of the contract.
Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, I mean, we said it before, actually, when we were talking about the Wizards. But it's also kind of win-win. Because then the player gets their money quicker, and they don't have to wait around.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you're going to get the same amount. But, yeah, tragic Game 7.
Yeah.
An ass-kicking, like, the whole time. Like, it was never... Like, it never felt like New York was going to win that game.
Yeah, it was a sad series. I mean, I was cheering for Indiana. Like, I like Indiana more. Mostly because Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, only. Yeah.
Pascal Siakam is my favorite player left in this playoffs. And honestly, no one comes close. Like, if I liked Pascal Siakam, like, half as much as I liked him now, he might still be my favorite player left in the playoffs. So, honestly, very happy for them. Fuck the Knicks as well. Fuck the Knicks fans is the big thing. I find them very annoying. I do feel bad for them because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, but no. like if a Knicks fan tries to be like, oh, if we were fully healthy, we would have been in Boston, probably not.
Yeah, no.
Probably
no
not. But if I was a fan of that team, there's a chance I would be spinning those narratives too.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. It did bring a smile to my face to see the Garden just deflated.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, now the Garden's locked in on my New York Rangers.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Are they Game 7 today?
No, they're through. They're through to the conference finals. Oh, they made Florida. It. Yeah. So at least one of their teams is in the conference finals. New York.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a certain section of New York people who are hockey fans and not basketball fans that are like, don't give a fuck.
Right.
Those guys can live their
They're
lives.
Still very happy.
But yeah, most of New York is sad. Most of New York is very sad right now.
Tyrese Haliburton was so sick, though, in that game. Like, yeah. Talking shit to the crowd the whole time. And yeah, he really put it on. And it was also like, he was looking really passive early. And that was like kind of like one of the issues. Like you were hearing and the talking heads saying was like, oh, he's just too passive. Like, he needs to, like, the reason he was so successful early was that 3-point shot was hitting. But, like, he instantly was doing that in this game. Like, his shot was nice. And, like, this is that team that won or got second in the play-in tournament. And it's off him.
Man, you know the meme where it's Squidward looking out and it's SpongeBob and Patrick having fun? Squidward is LaMelo Ball and SpongeBob and Patrick are Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Haliburton from that draft class.
Yes.
Like, because, like, really that draft class has, like, those are the three main stars. Unless that might also be the Brunson draft class. I'm not quite sure what draft class he is because he's a second round pick, so it's, right. like, harder to pick the year for it. But, like, those guys, like, have such good teams around them right away. And both Indiana and Minnesota are really good stories of team building around young players in two different routes completely. Because, like Minnesota, like, both of them made the big trade because one of them got Gobert and one of them got Siakam. The difference between Minnesota and Indiana is that, like, Indiana is the deepest team left. Like, their 10th man is better than the 10th man on any other team. They're 12th
even
man.
Boston.
Like, yeah, they have a ridiculously deep team, and like they have, unless I'm forgetting about somebody, they have the best player who's not going to touch the floor again in the playoffs, which is Benedict Mathurin, who hasn't played at all, who's like sixth or seventh on their depth chart for players, maybe eighth, well, like, who knows, but would be playing in these playoffs.
Yeah, players are guaranteed because, like, Porzingis is out right now.
Yeah,
as
but he'll
saying.
Be back.
Yeah,
he'll be back. But yeah, Indiana, happy for them. Well, you know, New York sucks for them. Sorry.
Yeah.
Get another crack at it next year.
I mean, the Squidward meme also is us as Squidward and Siakam outside.
Yeah.
Playing with Halbert.
No, I'm happy for Siakam.
And he was good.
Okay, here's my Raptors. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm just going to keep this Raptors segment as short as possible so I don't blow a gasket. Like, the OG Anunoby trade was great. I love the OG Anunoby's trade, especially hearing about that $37.5 million per year. I love that we don't have to pay that.
Right.
Well, I like that we don't have to pay that. I like Quickly, and I love Barrett, and that's a great trade.
Yeah.
Masai, bro, is that really the best we could do for Siakam?
Yeah,
is that really the fucking best we can do? Like, Bruce Brown, who apparently we want to trade, but, like, what are we even going to trade him for? Because, like, what good team has a player that's making $20 million that's worse than Bruce Brown that they're going to trade to us and not give a first with it?
Maybe.
Yeah, we're not going to pick with that. Yeah, and then we have Jared Allen and Pirtle. Great.
Jared Allen?
I don't want Jared Allen. I don't want Jared Allen. We don't want Jared. If Pascal Siakam turns into fucking Jared Allen and two outside of the lottery picks, which we always fucking miss on,
Well, we didn't miss on Pascal.
Yeah, since we got Pascal. If we get two Malachi Flynns and Jared Allen for Pascal Siakam, That's worse than the Vince Carter. That's like the worst trade we've ever made. And who knows? We could pick somebody good in this draft. This draft that was so weak that we felt fine trading our own first out of it when we kind of knew we were going to tank for freaking Jakob Poeltl, which raised our floor by negative 13 games this year.
Apparently some very optimistic front office people have said this is like a normal draft, but you take away the top three picks. And some pessimistic draft people said this is like a normal draft if you took away the top 10 picks.
There's going to be good people in this draft, for sure. For sure. Like, 2013 is the comp, because that draft was historically really bad. That's Anthony Bennett at number one draft.
Got it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo went 15th. Rudy Gobert went 27th. Okay. You can get value elsewhere in the
draft. Yeah, what are our picks? Like, 17 or something? That's
around that range. 20 and 32.
Oh. Well, still, we could do it.
Yeah, we could do something.
Yeah, if we want to just quickly, before we jump back in, stay in the Canada, pretty hype that our two star backcourt are both getting a lot of rest before the Olympics. We don't have to worry about long legs on SGA.
Murray. What do you mean star backcourt? Nikhil Alexander-Walker is still playing now. Andrew Nembhard's still playing now.
Nikhil, 0 points in game 7, Alexander Walker.
Wow, you only had like 12 less than Anthony Edwards. all right, on to another team that is going home sad. We'll go to OKC. If you're OKC, like, it sucks, and you got to say it sucks. And if you're the GM, you got to say it sucks. If you're the fans, you got to say it sucks. If you're the players, you got to say it sucks. Listen to what I was talking about with Orlando when they got out in the first round. That's my opinions on OKC. Honestly, like getting to the second round and having that competitive of a series with a proven playoff player in Luka and a proven playoff player in Kyrie, and being competitive with them and taking them that close in a game 6, like, they're playing with house money, and they had a really good year, and there's no shame in losing in the way that they did. They took care of business against New Orleans, and they played Dallas well. It's not like they got smoked, so we're chilling.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a little disappointing, like, as a one seed. I saw people bring up discussions on weakest one seeds ever.
It's cap.
I think a lot of people were saying, though, the Donovan Mitchell, what's it called? Utah teams. Mm-hmm. Probably a little worse than this one, but don't want to be in that discussion.
Also, the year after that, like, the Booker Chris Paul team that was the one seed, like, they straight up lost to also Dallas, right, like a worse Dallas team. Yeah. Like, so, you know, there's honestly, like, just because you're the one seed doesn't mean you're the best playoff team. The regular season, the playoffs are almost two different games.
Yeah, I mean, and betting odds said it. Everyone's, like, brackets and picks said it. Like, yeah, no one was thinking of them as the favorites in the West.
Nope. And, yeah, I mean, like, they handled – it's not like they got blown out, as I said, in the second round. So you can go home happy. Chet's going to be better next year, and Jalen Williams is going to be better next year. Mm-hmm. They probably got to make a move this offseason just because they have cap now. So now it would be the time to do something. Yeah, well, like, not a big, but I really think they got to upgrade the four spot. Like, they got to upgrade Giddey. And if that's a big forward a smaller big.
Giddey's got to get traded. Giddey was, I never liked Giddey at all in this playoff run.
No, and like, he needs to be on a bad team, in my opinion. He needs to develop on a worse team. That's another team. Hey, if you want like a four, like, go grab Jeremy Grant or see if Kyle Kuzma or see if Mikal Bridges, or I'm trying to think of another four. I mean, you could just straight up outright sign Tobias Harris. They got $35 million in cap. And Tobias Harris, like, people can clown all they want, but he's a lot fucking better than Josh Giddey.
a lot better.
And I do think actually going with a veteran would be the way to go in that spot.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hayward didn't really work out with them.
He stopped. He was getting, like, he was just not playing anymore.
Yeah.
Not trusting. Also, like, did he score at all? Like, he literally might have had zero. In this series, yeah. Yeah, like you said, they were playing with house money. No one thought of them as Western Conference favorites, unlike there's a team that people really thought was going to get out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they won it last year, so of course they went.
Fraudulent title last year.
And that's the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, the fucking Denver Nuggets. Bro, oh my God. So here's the problem with the Denver Nuggets is because they did so well in this round and they won it last year. The front office has a chance to be like, hey, we can just run it back with the same team and tinker around the edges. They really can't. This team's like broken in like a fundamental way. And Jamal Murray, like,
is it their $40 million jump shooter who can't hit threes in the playoffs?
Well, that is the big Jeremy Grant trade. I would trade him one for one for Jeremy Grant. And I think both of those teams take that. Like, if I'm either of those teams, I take that. Like, if I'm Portland, I look at Michael Porter Jr. and I'm like, he's only 24. Mm-hmm. Like, shit. And his contract's up in 2 years. So if I don't like it, then whatever. As opposed to Jeremy Grant, who has four more years on his contract. And if I'm Denver, I'm like, first of all, Jeremy Grant literally shot better from three this year than Michael Porter Jr. Second of all, he plays much better defense. Third of all, he passes more than Michael Porter Jr., even though he has a much better ISO game than Michael Porter Jr. Also, he played on that team like 5 years ago and looked good on that team. They just weren't quite ready yet.
Right. And he wasn't ready for that role. He wanted to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to be the guy. And then he went and was the guy in Detroit. And we saw what being the guy looks like for Jeremy Grant. And that's 20 wins.
And now I think he wants to come back to the championship.
Yeah. And I mean, if I was him, I would. Like, between Detroit and Portland, I think. But that is – or Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is also perfect. Well,
that would be amazing.
That would be really good. But I think –
like, that's the one you want more.
I don't think you could one for one Michael Porter Jr. No. for Mikal Bridges, unfortunately. And they have no draft capital or young players that I think
Brooklyn. They have no draft capital, really?
And I don't think so. Not good draft capital, at least, because they're going to be good for the next little bit.
I know, but they still have their like first round picks, right? Like, I feel like only AG was the only real big trade they did, right?
They gave up one for AG. Yeah, that might be it.
Okay, so they could throw in some picks.
Would they trade? I think they gave up one for KCP.
KCP? Too. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they could throw in some picks. I don't want Denver's picks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want
Denver's picks. But yeah, they got to do something this offseason. They really got to do something. Minnesota's going to be better next year, and OKC's going to be better next year, and Memphis is going to be back next year, and Dallas is going to be as good, if not better, next year.
Yeah.
And then one of New Orleans, both the teams in LA, Phoenix, or Golden State is going to be good next year.
You'd imagine.
Yeah, like one out of those five teams. I'm making the bet that one of those five teams will be good next year. That team was the Clippers this year. But who knows, like, what they'll look like next year.
Yeah.
It was a really deflating loss for Denver, and one day removed. I think I'm very doom and gloom about that team. I'm very doom and gloom about
that team. I remember because I wasn't watching it with you, but as the comeback was happening, Denver was still up maybe like 5 or 6, maybe like 7-ish. And then I sent you a text like, "How are you feeling?" You just said doom.
Yeah, I thought they didn't play better than them all game, and I thought they were outplayed all series, and not by a ton, but I thought they were outplayed all series. And I think losing by 40 in a game six and rolling over and being like, whatever, we'll get them next time, is just a quitter's mentality. Like, that's such
They pulled the bench real early, like 10 minutes left
from the game. Yeah, that's some real loser shit. And like,
I really thought Jokic was scaring me, though, the way he just stood there looking at them. I mean, and he played pretty good for his standards. Well, for his standards, he played all right.
Yeah, he played
for okay. For a normal player, he played amazing.
He played okay. I don't know, like,
he's got to stop taking those threes.
Like, yeah, maybe like spend some time with a fucking shooting coach instead of your fucking horses this summer, you fat fuck. He's like,
he doesn't need a shooting coach. He just needs to realize, like, it's like the Giannis thing. Like, teams love it when you're shooting that three ball. Like, that's what the opponent, like, really wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you just can't keep giving that to them. Like, he's in theory, a much better shooter than, like, Giannis or Embiid. But, like, teams love it when those big guys are out on the perimeter just shooting threes.
Yeah.
And seven in a row is tough. And then he hits the eighth, which was actually pretty sick of him. And, like, that eighth one wasn't even, like, that open. He kind of just took it and hit it. And I was like, damn. And then, like, it wasn't like it was, like, over. Like, I thought this game, I was like, oh, Minnesota's winning this. And also, what's funny is, because I thought that in the moment, and then Ant Edwards and Kat both said it in the post-game interview, it was when Gobert hit that, like, I don't know, like, Kobe, like, turnaround fade.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucked. But then, like, a little bit later, Denver brings it back to within three, and then...
That was a fake comeback. That was the... I've watched enough Raptors games to know what those comebacks are. Yeah. No, I thought going into the game, I was really disappointed with them in game six. I thought they lost the series with the way that they, as I said, rolling over in that game is ridiculous to me. And it kind of pissed me off. And, yeah, I think that they got to do some real introspection on that team. They can't come bring back this same core next year. And they need to trade their young players and their draft capital. They should have no draft capital starting next year. And they should have, like, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Julian Strother, get ready to learn somewhere else, buddy. Like, how are we – like, Christian Brown was fine in the playoffs. But, like, if you're a team like that, you shouldn't have young players that get minutes.
He had all the bench points in Game 7, all 5 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, the way they constructed this bench this year, I don't know how anybody can look at that and be like, that's good enough. Like, it's mind-blowing to me that, like, Reggie Jackson goes down with an injury and your bench is fucked. And exactly. It's over. Like, that's.
I mean, it's a testament to Jokic, just on how good he is, that people are like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Because everyone knew their bench sucked. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like news. And I feel like it always really like became like a huge talking point, like when Minnesota won the first two games. And then Denver came back and won 3 in a row. And then it was fine. And like, that just shows how good Jokic is. But I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Like, because Jokic was on, he was getting talked about. Like, he's top 10 player in the world, which, I mean, he was on that pace. But this is what people are saying about Giannis,
mm-hmm.
like a few years ago when he won his championship. And now, like people are still saying that Giannis could do it, but it's not nearly like the he's on pace or the way Jokic is, mm-hmm. the way Jokic was. And now with this loss, like, I mean, if he bounces back next year, it's obviously NBD again, but like, He's now showing himself that he's like closer to Giannis overall as a player than compared to like some all time greats.
Jokic and Giannis both have the same problem in that they won too early with the guy they had on their team their whole career, when really Chris Middleton and Jamal Murray should not be second best players on champ. Especially right. Jamal Murray. Especially 0-time all star Jamal Murray. He's had maybe 3 good playoff runs ever, and people think that he's like this fucking second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Like, any other superstar has a second best player that bad and they're gone. Like, Luka Doncic had Jalen Brunson a couple years ago, and like Jalen Brunson obviously wasn't where he is now, but I would say the one of the last year in Dallas is a pretty good comp for this year's Jamal Murray, where it's like not an all-star, but like can look like an all-star in big moments, like any given right. game. I mean, Jalen Brunson won them the first couple games in that Utah series when they didn't have Luka, and that wasn't good enough. They were like, fuck that, you're gone. Let's go get Kyrie half a year right. later, because first they were like, you're gone, let's have him have no star next to him, which like that's when we start getting rumblings of like, is Luka just gonna be gone in a couple of years?
Exactly.
But and then now he has Kyrie, like he has a genuine second star. And I just think like the thing with Jamal Murray is like his legs aren't gonna get healthier. And like he
I mean, like, he had a great game set. But like,
he put up like 20 points per game in the playoffs and shot 30% from three.
He's like one of the biggest reasons they lost their first two games. Like, he was really bad.
Garbage. And like, they won that Lakers series in 5 despite of Jamal Murray. And I get he hit 2 game winners, and that's what people remember from that series.
Right.
But like, in both of the games that he hit game winners, like the first one, he even talked about it, he was probably going into that fourth quarter like 2-for-18 or some shit like that. And he was like, oh, I just kept shooting and my teammates. Yeah, like, I wish there was somebody on the team who can make shots more consistently.
How many All-NBA players has Nikola Jokic played with?
None. Like,
yeah, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Washed 0 minutes DeAndre Jordan is the only All-NBA player that Nikola Jokic has ever played with.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. Yeah. Not much to say.
No. I've said all I have to say about that team.
I can't believe before we recorded that you were saying that you hate both these teams in the Western Conference. Because I am in love with Denver. Or not, no, Minnesota. In love with Minnesota now.
I love Gobert. I love Kat. I do not like Edwards.
Brought up some things that honestly, like, I completely forgot about, which is totally fair.
Yeah, like, between, like, the... Well, he's just had a couple off-court stuff. Like, between, like, the him forcing that girl to get an abortion was a little bit scummy. And, I mean, I know everyone joked, like, oh, send the video or whatever. I thought that was pretty immature of him. Very John Morant-esque. Like, shouting queers at random people in the street. What are you doing? Throwing the chair at the bouncer at the end of the game in the playoffs last year. What are you doing? Yeah, and
that one though, do you think he was really trying to throw it at the guy, or just he was just throwing chairs?
You're in a fucking crowded building, bro. What are you like? I don't think that you can be walking down a hallway like that,
right,
and throw anything and not expect to hit someone. Like, you're in a crowd of people. Like, it's like, imagine you're in a mosh pit and you just throw a beer bottle in the air and it lands on somebody's head and you're like, I didn't think it would hit anybody. What are you thinking, man? Not that
bad. But yeah, I get
it. Like, he throws it with force towards a crowd of people and it hits the first person it goes towards.
I think
so.
he didn't want to throw it that hard. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It's still ridiculous to me. Anyway,
don't you love Gobert? Don't you love Conley and Nasri?
Yeah, and I like Kat. I like everyone else on that team. But I like so much of that team is Ant-Man. I have two major Ant-Man thoughts. Number one is he really vindicated my take that it was Jimmy Butler's fault that the Minnesota Timberwolves didn't work out, because Wiggins ended up being a winner after that team.
True.
And now, like, basically the rest of that Timberwolves team has been winners since. And they had, like, Jeff Teague on that team. And they had, like, Derrick Rose when he was a real Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Like, Taj Gibson was giving you 12 points per game. They had Thibodeau as their coach, who's obviously a good playoff coach. Right. So how come everyone succeeded that since then? But he's like, oh, you need me and you can't win with me. Like, Jimmy Butler is only winning because he's in a Pat Riley situation. Pat Riley's...
Hey, Jimmy Butler is pretty good.
Yeah, he's good, but like I thought, like I was always on the he was immature the way he did that.
I feel that.
And the fact that that went down, and then Philly saw how good he was, and Philly knows, like, they're not stupid. Like, it was they know that he's better than Tobias Harris and Al Horford, and so obviously there's some stuff in the locker room that, like, they were like, we don't want this guy on our team.
True.
And so, like, I think that since Ant Edwards came here and winning kind of like validates that shit for me, right, about because I've always kind of been, I'm not a huge players asking out kind of guy, like that kind of stuff where they do like I'm fine with the way
it's pure sabotage.
Yeah, like complete sabotage of your team. And yeah, I think that Edwards has shown that this team can, like Kat has been great.
Somehow Kat was better. Like, I was, when we were previewing this second round, I was talking about how, like, Gobert's the one player, like, we've shown to be the Jokic stopper, and somehow he was the worst at stopping Jokic behind Kat and Nasri.
Yeah.
Like, Kat was actually, like, doing really good. Other than, like, he still will always do the most, like, stupidest fouls that you'll ever see. And, I mean, like, like every player, like, sometimes they just they call things that they shouldn't have, and he had a couple like that. But he also just has, like, such of the most obvious fouls ever, like, that are so unnecessary. But he has really turned it up defensively, which I love.
Yeah, that also, like, Gobert, really good redemption. That's another thing where, like, yeah, I would never thought he was the problem in Utah. And obviously he wasn't, because
Donovan Mitchell just got bounced.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell hasn't made the conference finals ever in his career. And now Gobert has.
No, don't they? Because Mike Conley's made the conference finals and get swept.
Yeah, with Memphis.
Oh, that's with Memphis.
Yeah.
True.
With Marc Gasol.
Oh, nice.
With Marc Gasol.
Oh, okay, okay. Nice.
And, like, also, Randolph. Young, like, the young
Mike Conley.
Yeah, for sure. Back when he primed Mike Conley. Not all-star Mike Conley when he was in Utah.
And not current Mike Conley, who's still pretty good.
Yeah, he still is really good. I like a lot of stuff about that team. You want to hear my super spicy Anthony Edwards take?
Okay.
Because I hate him off the floor, but I actually think that he's really good. If before the playoffs, you were like, draft players in the league to start your franchise with, I would have been no doubt Wembanyama.
Of course.
Now, I'd probably still pick Wembanyama, but there's two guys on my board. There's two guys that I'm doing in-depth draft research on. I think Edwards is going to be really fucking good. I don't think he's going to be Michael Jordan good, but I think, like, an average career for him is, like, Dwayne Wade from this point onwards, which is, like, first ballot Hall of Fame. I think he's, like, he's going to be so... He's 22.
I know. He's
going to be
so, young.
So fucking
but
good.
But there isn't there a Slovenian you might even pick over Wembanyama?
No, I don't think so. I don't like his
Luka's play style.
Yeah, I think it's too much stuff has to run through him. He's got to prove me wrong in this playoffs. If he beats Edwards one on one, then I'll give you that. Okay. I would take him over Edwards. But if he doesn't beat Edwards in this series, then I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are your guys. And then if you want to throw Shea now into that conversation.
Yeah, like, if you wanted to say, like, Jokic, but he's, like, 5 years old.
Yeah, no, but like, let's say for young players. Which young player would you want to build around? I think those are your guys.
Mm-hmm. I see more upside. Back to the Edwards and even Shea versus Luka.
The defense.
Like on the defense, there's more upside. And like athletes just in general have more upside than cerebral players.
Skilled players.
In general. Because like the best player in the league right now is a non-athlete.
Right.
Well, maybe he's not, but maybe the best player in the league is Anthony Edwards. Who knows?
no way.
I mean, he could be. He could be as soon as next year. I think he's really good. And yeah, that's my.
I'm waiting for Giannis to take that comeback. I'm not selling my Giannis best player in the league stuff.
Oh yeah, you think he's right now better than Jokic?
No.
But he could.
He's right there to take that back.
Yeah, I mean, like 50 in Game 6 was pretty good.
I mean, the defense is huge. Honestly, I felt like Anthony Edwards had a good game, and he shot like 6 for 24 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that like comes down to the defense. Like Jamal Murray had like, I don't know, 36, so like 35. I think I've said 36 too many times.
Yeah.
And I think everyone just had 36 and something. But anyways, but then like that second half, like he was walking down Murray. He like stole the ball off him like 2 times, maybe even 3 times. Like Murray was having a tough time dribbling around Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
I mean, his playmaking was really good.
His playmaking has been really good in general this playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why, but there's one moment, like, he only had, like, 2 points or something in the first half. Like, something crazy like that. And I was like, oh, he needs to shoot more. And one time he goes for a drive, and then he, like, ends up passing it to the corner. And the guy, and I think Nas Reed or something, hits it. But, like, there's a still frame. They showed the replay, and it was a slow motion. Him jumping in the air, turned around, throwing a pass. That looks so sick. Like, that should be a poster somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what you mean about the athleticism. Like, there is no young – I mean, Anthony Edwards is the best young athlete. Out of these star players.
Yeah. And the ones left. I mean, like, if somebody was to be like, don't forget about Ja Morant, like, we'll True. Talk about that at the end of next season.
Fair enough.
We'll talk about that at the end of next season when I've seen another full season from him.
Yeah.
But yeah, you want to talk about, I guess we'll talk about Dallas now and what their outlook looks like. Luka doing great stuff. Kyrie, good to see him back here again. I love PJ Washington. Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
I love PJ Washington. I like that he's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. I like that he like he like talks his shit, and I love that for him because he was stuck on some pretty bad teams for years.
Right.
And it's nice to see him. And Derek Jones Jr.
Yeah, really hyped for Derek Lively too.
Mm-hmm.
His mother, I believe, passed last year, right?
Yeah.
Very recently. He just made a post about her on Instagram. Or Twitter or something. Yeah, great redemption story for him. Because I feel like even he was, it's Derek Lively, right? It's the rookie. Mm-hmm. And people are clowning him. It's so crazy. Like, how people, I mean, like, we have a podcast, so, like, we're also guilty of this. But, like, how you can just talk about, like, someone without having the context behind it. And, like, people are clowning him. They're like, you're in the NBA and you're still living with your mom. And then she, like, dies. Like,
mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, it's just so crazy. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like their starting rotation a lot with him and Gafford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
trade deadline, which you touched on.
Yeah, for sure. I was really high on their trade deadline. I thought they had, like, the best trade deadline, unless mm-hmm. I'm completely forgetting about some other team. We were naming, like, best executives in the league, I think I've had them as my second after Brad Stevens.
Yes.
But yeah, they're great. They're young. They've put the most complete team around Luka that
so far
I've ever seen.
Yeah, because the last time they made the conference finals, we all knew they were going to lose.
Yeah.
And this time, I don't.
And I thought that Golden State team in 2022 might have been worse than this Timberwolves team.
Right.
At least less complete. And that is a ton of hindsight, though, because Looney hasn't been the same player since, and
yeah,
Wiggins hasn't been the same player since, and Poole hasn't been the same player since, and all three of those players were really good in that run. And even Clay, to a certain extent, hasn't really been the same player since.
Mm-hmm.
Even Gary Payton II hasn't been the same player. Even Otto Porter hasn't been the same player since. Well, that's a lot of players who,
that's
like,
true.
Have completely, like, the way I look at them now is different from the way that they were on that team.
Literally. Literally everyone but Steph and Draymond. And Draymond could also be in that category.
I don't think so. Like, his off-court stuff fucks him so bad, but when he plays, like, he's great.
Still good.
He's still Draymond Green. He's a big part of winning basketball. Yeah, that's my...
He said he was one of the few players on the planet that can guard Jokic.
That's
true.
Cap. Yeah, that's cap. Players, like, that's one of the reasons that, like, I don't listen to fucking player podcasts or any player stuff like that. I find, like, they'll be like, oh, like, other people don't know shit because they haven't been in the league. But players are so biased and so, like, openly biased.
They are.
All the time.
And even when he said that, Caruso was like, yeah, I give you that. No.
Yeah. Yeah, makes, and when he was like, he made the point, he was like, yeah, like, if the MVP's on the other team, you gotta guard him. Who guarded LeBron James when Draymond Green was Defensive Player of the Year in 2015?
Finals MVP.
Yeah, Draymond Green won Finals MVP for guarding LeBron James because he was a forward. He's the same height as LeBron, similar weight.
They basically play the same position.
Yeah, they play a similar position. Like he wouldn't give that to a bench player on his team, right? He wouldn't give that to somebody who spent most of the year on the pine playing as the sixth man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, Draymond.
Yeah. I mean, they're professional hoopers, but they're real passionate yapping.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about, let's leave the best of the four teams for last. So let's talk about Boston first.
What? Are you trying to see if I was still paying attention?
With Boston, not a whole lot to say. I haven't seen them. They haven't really played like a team. They aren't in the next round going to play a team that I feel like is a real challenge for them, and they haven't played a team that's a real challenge yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're an undefeated fighter who has not really faced like the heavyweight champion yet. It's like, how good are you really? I know you never lost, but still.
And that's why they're my personal pick to win the championship. Just because I think teams that stay healthy and more rested, it helps you out a lot. I mean, the counterpoint to that is that...
So you're rest over rust?
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, the first couple games of the series, like, it's going to be tough. Right. Like, but, like, as series... Like, New York is...
Gas.
Like, New York is a lot better than Indiana. Like, a lot better of a basketball team, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, they lost the series, so whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, And they like got smoked in game 7. They weren't even that close. Even before Brunson got hurt.
Even when a few of the other games they got smoked.
Yeah.
It was game 6, but they also did they do the same thing as Denver, lose the last two?
Yeah, I think they
being up 3-2.
Yeah, I think they did.
And I'm pretty sure they also got smoked in that game 6.
Yeah, so but yeah.
But I see what you're saying. You're to the point of teams gas out.
Yeah, teams gas out a lot, and I think this Minnesota versus Dallas series is going to be a bit of a long slog. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll talk about Indiana now. Woo! Let's go, Pascal. Let's fucking go. He's been sick all playoffs. He's been sick all playoffs, and Haliburton's starting to look sick again too. Both those guys are guys who love playing basketball. Always smiles on their faces.
Yes,
they're just chilling. All the role players on that team have been great. Rick Carlisle, it's sick for him to finally like actually like do his job and coach for the first time since he won a championship.
Right.
He's been getting contracts off that championship and no other playoff series wins for like 12 years, and so it's good to see him coaching again for sure.
Obi Toppin is a new man, mm-hmm. looking like his top four pick self. Is he mm-hmm. top four?
For sure.
Not that quite there, but he's back.
Yeah. Well.
And the biggest I think winner is I think Miles Turner.
He's looked great.
Looked really good.
He's looked really good, yeah.
Blocking big shots.
Mm-hmm. Shooting 46% from three in the playoffs.
Yeah. It feels like great. It too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I actually have a bunch of stats for all the teams. I have three big stats for every team.
Okay.
I'll just do it in the order that I have them in. Boston, first of all, four games played this playoff for KP is stat number one.
Nice.
Not good so far, but they haven't needed him. 28% for Tatum from three. Yikes. 61% from the line for Jaylen Brown. Yikes. Keep an eye on it. Sometimes with these kinds of stats, it's like they haven't really needed to work too hard. So, like, we'll see when they play, like, a real team if they can turn it up.
Right.
But you don't want to get too complacent. And, like, 28% from Tatum from three is brutal. Like, brutal. Like, Luka's shooting...
Well, he's basically Pascal Siakam then at that point.
Luka's shooting 30% from three, and even that feels like, no.
Right.
Like, he's got to step something up. He can't play as poorly as he did in that last series and expect to be...
Yeah, Boston, that's their weakness, is when they get way too jump shot heavy.
Mm-hmm. Indiana, my first stat, 47.8% is what Turner, Nembhard, and Shepherd are shooting from three on 11.4 attempts per game across those three players. So you're getting almost 50% shooting. You're getting like 5 threes a game from three of your 10 rotation players.
Holy shit.
Really good. All those guys are shooting over 44%.
Right. If that was 37.8, you'd still be happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10% higher.
114.2 points per game for Indiana is 5.8 more than the closest playoff offense still alive, which is Minnesota, I believe, is scoring at 108.4% as opposed to 114, which is... People all season were like, Indiana's offense is good, but you can't play this way in the playoffs. I guess you can.
What was interesting about the Indiana versus New York thing was it is the clash of styles. It feels like Indiana, both teams end up scoring a lot because Indiana sucks on defense and have such good offense. And New York, both, it feels like their series are always super low scoring because they have such a good defense and a pretty weak offense. And then it feel like every game it lent Indiana's way and that their style of play took over more where they were both all high scoring,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
My last stat for Indiana, 2.8 assists to turnover throughout this playoffs. They have the most assists per game of any of the teams left and the least turnovers of any of the teams left. Boston and Minnesota are both 2 as opposed to 2.8, and Dallas is 1.8. Makes sense. Halliburton is the best passer maybe on the planet. I mean, you can maybe say Jokic, but it helps that he has those guys.
Well, definitely the best passer left in the
playoffs. Oh, we can say that. For sure. Luka's on one leg.
Right.
So, which hurts him a little bit. Yeah. And I think his scoring is a little more legit than Halliburton's is. So that's gravity stuff. Like pure passing ability, Halliburton is transcendent. He always finds the right guy and almost never throws it. Like he averages a silly low amount of turnovers for the amount of assists that he has per game. Minnesota Timberwolves. Our boy Anthony Edwards is the fifth player in the last 10 years to lead his team to the conference finals in year four or earlier.
Wow.
Halliburton this year. Trae Young, whenever he went to the conference finals.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic when he went to the conference finals. And Jason Tatum. So lots of young players. Four of those players are in the conference finals again right now.
Sick.
All four of them. Everyone except for Trae Young, which get Trae Young some help. maybe he's just bad, though. Maybe he's just the worst of all of them.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Easily.
You could argue him versus Halliburton.
Yeah,
the other ones are inarguable, though.
Because Halliburton's equally as bad of a defender somehow.
Yeah, which is wild because he has much better tools.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of helped out by the fact that Young isn't a pylon anymore. 50%. Anthony Edwards has the highest PPG in this playoffs, shooting over 50% from the field, which is insane.
So, of players who shoot over 50%, he has the highest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, because Embiid, I think, has the most of any players through this playoffs so far, but he did not shoot 50%. And, Brunson did not shoot 50%.
Yeah, Brunson, I knew, was up there.
Which is crazy for a guard to have that. Edwards, everything's tough for him.
Yeah.
And, I thought... He did. He's been really impressive. And my last stat for them is 7 out of 10 games that Rudy Gobert has played 35 minutes or more in this playoffs, which is really destroys the old adage that he's unplayable and gets worked off the court, played off the court in the playoffs. He's not really been played off the court at all.
See. They haven't gone against an elite guard yet this run.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
If Luka starts breaking into
the picture, that's crazy that Devin Booker's fallen that low.
Well, I don't really even count that as a series, but you're right. Yeah, Devin Booker's an elite guard. But we'll see if Luka can play him off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets past Luka, then I'll give it to you that's over.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we got the Dallas Mavericks. They only have 4 players who played over 21 minutes per game. That's Derek Jones Jr., that is PJ Washington, that's the 2 stars. A lot of that is because their 2 centers both play 20 minutes each. And I don't know where those other 8 minutes come from. Maxi Kleb has played some minutes for them. Exum's played some minutes for them. Hardaway's played an okay amount of minutes for them. But yeah, only 4 players to play over 21 minutes per game, which is very rare. Minnesota has 6 dudes who play all their minutes, and that's basically it.
Right, New York does that.
Yeah, New York has done that. Luka leads his team in 4 out of the 5 major counting stats, except for blocks. So he leads in steals, rebounds, assists, and
points.
He leads the whole playoffs in defensive rebounds per game, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, it's random.
Yeah, more than Gobert, more than even like AD in the one series that he was in, Jokic, Embiid. Like he's a better, just a better rebounder than those guys, I guess. The ball just goes to him. And there's only been one game this whole playoffs where Luke has had a negative plus minus is my last stat for them. Every other game he's been plus. And most games he's like a major plus.
Yeah, for sure.
Of the other star players left, Edwards has like three. Haliburton has like four or five. Tatum also only has one, but that's less impressive just because like, they haven't. I think they've only they've lost one game this entire playoffs, right?
Did they sweep first? No, they lost.
They lost to Miami. They lost two all playoffs, and Dallas has lost four. That's twice as many games.
Wow, and Tatum's been negative in the plus minus.
One game he was a negative plus minus.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is crazy.
He's not been that good.
He's been bad. Been really good. Also, like. I feel like their fringe dudes have been good too. Sam Hauser's just been really good in his playoffs. He's, I mean, always a good 3-point shooter, but that's always nice when it transfers to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my fun stats.
Those are fun. Yeah. Do you think it actually? I keep thinking about that Gobert getting played off the floor thing. Do you think it's because now that he has other defenders around him that like he doesn't, he can just focus on the ISO defense and like before it's like. Well, I still do got to get back and box out. Or do you think he's gotten better as a person? Or do you think that narrative is just
never I think like the it's a combination of that Utah team having kind of bad...
really bad defenders.
Like, defenders around him. And also, like Quinn Snyder's just a bad defensive coach. The Atlanta team this year was really uncompetitive on defense. Mm-hmm. And that's like with a pretty decent jump from Trae Young. Like there was no one player who was like a noticeable, oh, this is the reason that we're bad.
Yeah.
Like you'd think that Clint Capella can anchor like at least a reasonable defense. And like their offense was good this year. They had a lot of 130 to 135 losses. Like when they played like Indy this year, that game was like an all time.
Yeah.
Like weird NBA game.
Yeah, had the points, like total points of like two NBA games.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny how things are so narrative based, especially with coaches. I think that's so true. That Quinn Snyder was before seen as a good defensive coach, I think, because of the Utah teams.
Yeah,
because
of Gobert.
But that's just because Gobert. Yeah.
Yeah. Good Crazy. Old Gobert. What are we looking at now? What time? We should probably just do the draft now. Let's draft Finals MVPs.
Who we think will end up winning Finals MVP. So basically, like in this draft, you basically want to draft the person who will end up winning Finals MVP is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the winner. Whichever one of us drafts the person who ends up getting it has won this draft.
I'm thinking we get five picks each. If a player outside of the first 10 picked wins Finals MVP, then I guess we're just both idiots. Yeah, the last time somebody's done that is Andre Iguodala. Okay. Like because the Finals MVP since then have been like LeBron, KD, Kawhi, like Steph, LeBron again, Giannis, Jokic, basically dudes that would be first picks if we had done those years. I'll give you the first pick because I made the bet. And
okay, then give me Jason Tatum.
Good pick.
It's tough because like honestly, Boston could have a lot of people who are eligible for that award. But I just feel like they're going to cakewalk Indiana. And if you get a free trip to the finals, you got to be first pick.
Mm-hmm. I want Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
We're going to do this snake.
Yep.
And I'm going to take Jaylen Brown as my second.
Okay. I like it.
Who's your two picks?
Give me Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And then give me Derek White.
Oh, that is such a good pick. I'm going to take Kyrie Irving, and I'm going to take Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, yeah, that's what I expected. Okay, then give me Tyrese Haliburton.
Okay.
And, who else am I picking? Should I just say fuck it? All right, give me Kristaps Porzingis.
Okay. And with the last pick. I am going to take Rudy Gobert.
Nice.
So I have Edwards, Brown, Irving, Towns, and Gobert, and you have Tatum, Doncic, White, Haliburton, and Porzingis.
Nice.
So I have, if Minnesota wins the championship, I am guaranteed winning this.
Yeah. You have the Minnesota edge.
I cornered the market. If Indiana wins the championship, Pascal Siakam wins. Pascal Siakam is biggest snub. He's the only all-star player who gets snubbed.
It was him, Porzingis, or Gobert that I was thinking about.
Sorry, Drew Holiday, that you're not, you know, you get snubbed from the biggest snub.
It's just true.
Yeah, you're the fifth dude on your team. Like, that's, that'd be insane. I would say Tatum, Luka, Edwards, and Brown are like the really, really understandable winners of it.
Yeah.
And then like Derek White, Kyrie, and Kat, I would say, are all like,
next year.
And then if Halliburton or Gobert or Porzingis wins it, something crazy happens.
Right.
Like, so those three guys, like, that'd be an all-time run for any of those three guys. Like, Halliburton dragging that Indiana team to the finals and winning it would be insane. Like, Gobert winning finals MVP would be crazy. Would be insane. Especially, like, I could see it if Philly was waiting for them in the finals. And let's say, like, they played Philly and Embiid scored, like, less than 20 points per game.
Yeah.
Sure. Or if they played Milwaukee and Giannis scored less than 20 points per game. Sure. But, like him holding, like, Pascal or like Kristaps to a low points
maybe
per game.
Tatum.
Yeah, he's not demanding. Jason, bro, that sidestep, like, if Tatum can do that sidestep in three pump fakes before Gobert can side shuffle his way over there.
Well, Gobert, you want him as the roamer, and maybe you respect Porzingis shooting more than Tatum shooting.
Facts. That is facts. I think he just, what do you call it?
He's pretty fucked in that series.
I think he's just fucked in that series. In Indiana, he's also fucked, because Miles Turner has been legit this playoffs. Right. You would have to pray that Miles Turner would move back down towards, like, his normal
shooting.
Even his normal shooting, he'd still be fucked. Like, if Turner's shooting 36%, like, that's not so good for Gobert. Like, you kind of got to be out there still.
Right.
I
mean, you can put him on, like, Toppin.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Toppin plays off the bench. Toppin just doesn't get played in that series.
You can play him against Pascal, I guess.
You can play him against Pascal. You can play him. He doesn't protect the rim that much, unfortunately, but Pascal averages, like, 12 points per game if he has Rudy Gobert on him.
Exactly.
Which is nice.
And then, yeah, you can just have Kat on Turner.
Yeah. Well, like, both of the best three-point shooting teams left are both in the East. Like, they both have better three-point shooting
goal players. That's why finals MVP Gobert's so tough.
Yeah.
And then Porzingis would have to, like, become Boston's best player for a series, which would be...
Yeah, it would be more believable if he was healthy, but the fact that he's hurt coming into it is like, well, who knows? The only thing I will say about his injury and coming back is Kat was hurt coming into the playoffs, basically. He's been fine.
But, like, he had the runway. He had like 10 or 8 or 10 games or something like that.
I think he had like 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
that's
he had
it?
2 games before the end of the season. But every game he'll like grab his knee and like look like he's in real pain.
He always gets
hit there
too.
And then he won't even be like laboring a minute later.
Right.
Like, he'll be moving fine, which is weird. Most laboring player is easily Luka is number one. And then after that, I'm trying to think of any of the other stars that have looked at all injured. They've all looked pretty good.
Yeah, of the ones left, for sure.
Yeah.
Because Brunson was like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. we're more than an hour now.
Okay, yeah, we can pick our series quickly.
Pick our series winners? Sure.
Yeah. This is just two series.
Yeah.
That's crazy how semifinals work.
I have... Do you want to do East or West first? Do you want to pick first for East or West is what I'll propose to you. You get to pick first for one and second for the other.
Okay, let's just get out of the way that Boston is going to win. And I think in classic Boston fashion, they're going to blow two games, making it a 6-game series.
I was going to say Boston 6 as well. Okay. I'll say Boston 5 then. I think Boston 7 would be a little too pessimistic of that Celtics team. But I think Boston 4 is not giving enough credit to how good this Indiana team's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And also not giving enough credit to how much Boston just can't, like, never sweeps teams. Except for when they swept Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant when both of them were fully healthy. Which was
close
so
to sweep. Until the LeBron on Jokic.
Yeah.
LeBron.
And then in the West, I'm going to take Minnesota in 6.
Wow. I want Minnesota in 7 is what I would pick.
Nice.
But, you know, for the pod, let's go. We'll rock
Dallas in
7?
We'll
rock Dallas in 7.
Wow.
I'd like it for them, too.
There's no... Like, I mean, unless, like, Luka gets the LeBron steroid treatment, like, if they're playing in Game 7, like, he might have to be on a wheelchair out there. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's
Oh, my God. Imagine that. Imagine Dallas wins, and then, like, Luka is just, like, so fucked for the finals, can't even play.
And then they play Indiana, because Indiana upsets Boston, and Indiana wins the championship. Pascal Siakam, finals MVP, two-time champion. He's just a first ballot Hall of Famer if that happens. Yeah, two rings as a top three player on the team is insane.
Especially if you got a finals MVP.
All right, that's what we're praying for. Well, who are you cheering for in the two series?
Definitely Indiana. Same. More so than any team in the West.
What's your power ranking of liking of the four teams left, I would say?
Probably Indiana, then Minnesota, then Dallas, then Boston.
I would say it's Indiana, then Boston, then Minnesota, then Dallas.
Wow.
I'm not a Boston hater. I feel like people hate on Boston too much. They give me vibes. Like, I was a fan of the Raptors teams with DeRozan and Lowry, where we had just really good regular seasons year after year and fucking blew it in the playoffs and, like, never really got over that hump. And I really want to see this Boston team get over that hump. Like, they almost feel... Like, if they were to play Minnesota in the finals, it almost feels like they'd be the underdog in that series. Even though they won the most games this year, and they're way more playoff-proven, and they've got a better roster on paper, it feels like they would be the underdogs. I bet you that, like, Minnesota would have, like, the betting favorite in that series.
I hate Boston fans. I hate Boston fans almost as much as I hate New York fans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Also, it's so random. My brother's best friend, Ilya, loves Boston. And if they win, that'll be incessible.
Yeah.
Incessant. I was so happy Miami won the first game against them.
I really don't like Dallas or Minnesota, so I don't. Whatever. That's a nightmare for me. I like OKC and Denver a lot, so yeah. I like Rudy Gobert is the thing that brings.
Is Mark Cuban on this team or not?
Yeah, I know, because he's at the game. It's crazy.
Well, praying for Pascal, Finals MVP.
Praying for Pascal, man. Praying for him. So. You think Naz Reid's the second best backup center in the league?
Behind who?
You know behind who. You got to say it to end the podcast. You know behind who.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Mo Wagner?
Kelly Olynyk?
Oh. You mean... Fuck, who's their starting center on the Clippers? You mean Zubats, because obviously Mason Plumlee is the real starting center.
No, I'm actually Daniel Tice.